So, I too have peace with God. I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I had a moment in my life, like Colin did, like Zacchaeus did, when the Lord Jesus found me, a lost sinner, and he saved me. And I was just looking at Colin's smile when he was up here. Do you think it sort of exuded peace? Do you think he's happy in Christ? Absolutely. A Christian has a lot of things that other people have. We might get sick. We might get flat tires. And we might get bitten by mosquitoes and black flies. But you know what a Christian has? We have peace. We have peace. Our sins are forgiven. And we're absolutely 100% sure that we will be in heaven. And we're enjoying the way to heaven now. So it's a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with you tonight. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read in two places for two expressions. And most of you probably, if you've been to a gospel meeting before, you will know these two expressions. You will have heard them before. And there may just be one person who would like to be saved tonight. You're listening to Colin, and you're thinking, I would like to have what Colin has. But I don't know how, and I can't figure it out. And maybe you're a really private person. But the big question is, how can I be saved? But you're scared to ask anybody. What do I have to do to be saved? And perhaps you thought you'd be saved a while ago, but here you are, ready to go back to school, and you're not saved yet. You're still out of Christ. You have tried. Maybe you've even cried. But you're not saved. So let's read Matthew chapter 4. And the Lord Jesus is in the wilderness, and Satan has approached him, the devil. Verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. So he was hungry. He was 40 days, 40 nights without eating any food. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, this is a devil, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he, that's Jesus, answered and said, it is written. Whoa. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, you're coming to me with that? What does God's word say? It is written. So maybe you have tried, perhaps you have cried, but there's one thing you haven't done yet. So it rhymes with tried and cried. You'd like to be saved tonight. And Jesus said, it is written. You have my word. You have the Bible. What does the Bible tell you? So here's the three words. Here's the two words again. See if you can think of the third one that you haven't done yet. You've tried. Give me some verses to read. Tried. You've cried. I want to be saved. And you're still not saved. It's a word that rhymes with tried and cried. And that's why you're not saved yet. You have never relied, trusted on the word of God. It is written, Jesus said. And you'll never be saved until you rely on what God's word, the Bible, tells you. Now, the other three words, we're going to read these in John chapter 19. John 19 and verse 28, Jesus is on the cross, and a lot has happened, and he is about to die. John 19 and verse 28, here's what it says. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, or he delivered up his spirit, or he expired, or in today's language, we would say, he died. So he says, it is finished. And then he dies. Do you ever wonder what he meant? That's a strange thing to say from a cross. It is finished. So I want you to think of those two, three-word phrases, and I printed them off for you. Just in case you forget what I'm saying, here's what we read. It is written. Let me get some tape here. It is written. And it is finished. Written and finished. What was written? The Word of God. Everything that you need to know tonight to experience what Zacchaeus experienced, it is already written in your Bible. God isn't going to write something else in the sky for you to read and believe. What you need is what's in the Bible. It is written and it is finished. So let's talk about it is written for a few minutes. God has already spoken. He's not going to say in a special kind of font across the sky, here's something else for you to read, boy. Here's something else, lady, for you to see. No, it's all done. It's written. The book is completed. That's why we hold the Bible every night, read from the Bible every night. It's reliability. It's real. It's authentic. People have questioned it. But those who read it the most question it the least. There's people here in the audience, and they've been reading the Bible for, let me look at the audience, 50 years. And the more they read it, they say, yes, this is the Word of God. And those who have made it their lifelong study, they have found gold. They've found treasures in the Bible. And Jesus said to the devil, it is written. So what you have is the Bible. And I remember years ago, our lawnmower. It was a ride-on lawnmower, and something was wrong with it, and I'm not very mechanically inclined, and I couldn't get it going, fix it, whatever was wrong with it. And so I sort of went in the house a little annoyed that my cutting the lawn experience was interrupted by a lawnmower that didn't work, and I said to my wife, Joy, I said, the lawnmower is broken. It's not working. And you know what she did? She went and got the manual. Now you get the manual online. You don't need a hard copy. But she got the manual. And, well, what's it doing? What's wrong with the lawnmower? Well, you look up at the troubleshooting section of the manual. Ooh, it's doing that.
Oh,
that's exactly what the problem is. And then you know how to fix it. And that's what the Bible is. It's God's manual. What is wrong with me? Colin said, we do things we wish we would never do. We sin. We mess up. We disappoint ourselves, not to mention disappointing God. What is wrong with us? We open up the manual, troubleshooting. What in the world is wrong with me? Why did I get so angry today? Whoa. It is written, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. That's what's wrong with me. It is written. And everything else you need to know about, well, how can you get rid of your sins? It is written. That's why Jesus died. He died for our sins. And so when we present the gospel, we're telling you, this is God's message for you. He says, you have my word for it. Trust it. Rely. My son died for your sins 2,000 years ago. Can you rest on it? Can you rely on the word of God? Some of you are going back to school and you'll be reading books that scientists have written, mathematicians have written, lots of school books. You won't say, how can I believe that math teacher, that math book? You don't go like that, but math. Why is it when we come to the Bible, we question the Bible? It's God's word. It is written. My people believe anything these days. I've often thought if a 700, if you saw it online, wow. Guess what? A 750-pound mosquito was found in the Muskush Swamp. I must share that with somebody. You believe that. But when you read, this morning we were here at your Sunday school, and I think that's a really cool thing you do in your Sunday school when you're singing the choruses, those five-word verses. Christ died for our sins. And you went over a whole list of them. And I think you do it quite often, those five words. Not 750-pound mosquito. No, Christ died for our sins. Christ died for the ungodly. For all have sinned. All of those beautiful verses. Why can't you rely on God's word? Jesus said to the devil, it is written. The night I was saved, I was reading Romans 10, verse 9. It is written that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. You all even hear from Colin, Acts 16, 31. Colin was reading. He wasn't very old. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It is written. But then the other one is, I think it's in red. Yep. Finished. It is finished. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. You ever ask yourself, what did Jesus mean when he said, it is finished? As I said, it's a strange thing to say just before someone dies. Do you think he was saying, I came to do something on earth and I've failed. It's all over. It's finished. Give up. You think he was saying that? What did Jesus mean when he said, it is finished? Was it a tragedy? Was he there saying, this is an awful tragedy, it's all over? Or was it triumph? Did he say, it is finished? Or did he say, finished? The last words. I remember my father-in-law, Floyd Stewart. He died in his 50s with cancer. And I remember going into the little room. He died at home. And it was just before he died. And I went to his bedside and I tried to sing, "When My Life's Work Is Finished and I Cross a Narrow..." It's a Christian hymn. And I remember Mr. Stewart, my father-in-law, just squeezing my hand like that. And the last words I heard him say were these, "Oh, he's wonderful." I wonder what he meant. What do you think my father-in-law meant just before he died? "Oh, he's wonderful." I knew exactly what he meant. He was speaking to the Lord Jesus. And they were precious words. I remember going out of that little room, and they were the last words I heard. "Oh, he is wonderful." What do you think Jesus' words meant? "It is finished." Was it bitter words of defeat? Or was he saying, "Yes, victory"? I mean, he wasn't very old. He was only in his early 30s. That's pretty young to die. He's hanging on a middle cross. There's a guy over here and there's a criminal over here and he's in the middle. They didn't look as bad as he did. They had no thorns in their brow. He did. We don't read about their back being all scraped and bruised and bleeding. But his was. They whipped his back. And look at this fellow here. He had no spit on his face. And this one, no spit on his face. But this man in the middle cross, spit all over his face. If you read the Bible carefully, it says that they spit on his face repeatedly. Kept spitting on him is the thought. Not one little spot of spit. Their beards were all intact. Full beards. His beard. Jesus' beard. They literally grabbed his beard and they tore it right off the side of his face. Pretty sad, isn't it? And he says, "It is finished." Was it a defeat? Was he losing ground? Was it all over? I mean, this is the man that was out there saying to people, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." And now, listen, did I just hear that right? He said, "I thirst." Wow. What is happening to Jesus? One day, you read it in John 8, 36, he said, "If the Son shall make you free, you will be free indeed." And here he was bound to the cross, nailed, free, captured, nailed. He was the one who said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Life? He looks like he's about to die. What is going on here? We were telling the young people this morning about the verse in John chapter 12. "I am come," Jesus said, "a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." And if you read John, you read the accounts in the Gospels, it was really dark. There was no light shining from the cross. It got so dark. And yet he was a light. And then he says, "It is finished." You know what was happening when it was dark? You know what was happening when the Lord Jesus was on the cross? Here's what I appreciated one night. I was in my attic bedroom. I understood that when Jesus was on the cross, all Peter Ramsey's sins in advance, I wasn't living back then. I have white hair, but I'm not that old. All Peter Ramsey's sins in advance were laid on the Lord Jesus, and God punished Jesus for my sins. Isn't that amazing? And after all that, Jesus says, "It is finished." What does he mean? It is finished. If you could figure that out tonight, in the next 8 or 9 minutes, you could go out this door with a big smile on your face. If you could understand, what was it that Jesus finished? What did he mean by that word finished? Was it a failure or was it a success? Was it tragedy or was it a triumphant cry? You know what he didn't say on the cross? He didn't cry from the cross, "It's partly done." He didn't say, "It's almost finished." He didn't say, "It's 80% finished." I'm glad he didn't say those words. He said, "It is finished." Tout fini, if you speak French. It is finished. We were at a place today up in this area, and they had some things in their house, and they said, "Well, this is from IKEA." Oh, what? I haven't bought very much from IKEA, but I bought things from other places. Like you buy a barbecue at Canadian Tire or someplace, and or you buy a desk from Staples, and it's all built in the factory. You get it home, it's far from finished. You've been 12 o'clock midnight and you're still working on it. Where does this screw go? I have one screw left over. Does it go in this side, that side? And you're still working. It's far from finished. But Jesus said, "It is finished. All done." He didn't say, "It's partly done," or "You have to do your 25%. Jesus' suffering for sin was finished. The Lord Jesus will never make another sacrifice for your sins or mine or for anyone else's. One sacrifice for sins, finished forever. And so God is up in heaven, and the Lord Jesus is on the cross, and Jesus says, "Finished! It's exactly what God sent to earth to do. To pay the price for your sins and mine." And when he had finished, he said, "It's all done. Finished. Completed. Paid in full." And tonight, you don't have to try. You don't have to cry. But you must rely on what the Bible says. Jesus said, "I finished the work." And so you just trust he did it. He doesn't tell lies. Other people do. My friends might. But Jesus doesn't tell a lie. He said, "It is finished." So one of the greatest lies in the world tonight is a teaching that you have to do. There's something that you must do. No. You don't have to say a prayer. You don't have to go 5 days without saying a swear word or 2 weeks without telling a lie. Tonight, if you could just take God as word, "It is written," and Jesus said, "It is finished," you just rely. "Christ died for my sins. It's finished." That's the beautiful simplicity of the gospel. I don't know whether any of you, I haven't been over to Paris yet, but if I did, I'm not sure whether I would go to the Louvre Museum in Paris or not. But they say if you go to this museum in Paris, there's a really amazing old painting, like Leonardo da Vinci painted it back in the 1500s, 1503. It's called the Mona or Mona Lisa. It's just a lady with an expression on her face. And it is worth millions of dollars. And if you went to that museum, it's behind a bulletproof glass. And the last time I read, it was valued at, this is 2017 figures, $800 million, that one painting on the wall. And you say, oh, Mom, I want to go. I want to take my crayons and I want to go to a dollar store and I want to get one of those little paint sets and I get a little paintbrush. And can we fly across the Atlantic? I have got some really good talent here as a junior artist. And I would just love to add my piece to the Mona Lisa. And sure enough, the ticket's bought, and you go there with your crayons or your little paint set from the dollar store, and you go to the museum, and the curator of the museum, she's there, and she says, what can I do? Oh, I've traveled from Canada, Prince Edward Island, precisely, and I brought over my coloring set, and I want to just touch up the Mona Lisa. Would you ever get the eyes? She would stare at you and she'd say, officer, come here. Escort this person out. No, the Mona Lisa is a masterpiece. If you tried to add something to it, you would wreck it. And the greatest masterpiece of the ages on God's canvas is what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. Christ died for our sins. Zacchaeus is going to be in heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross. Colin is going to be in heaven because of what Christ finished on the cross. Peter is going to be in heaven because of that masterpiece 2,000 years ago on the cross. Jesus said, it is finished. Imagine if I said, I need to do you. You could do something else. What an insult to the Lord Jesus. What he did, he finished it. What could I offer Jesus, or what could I offer God after what the Lord Jesus Christ offered on the cross? He offered himself, the sacrifice. So I don't know whether you're going to trust him tonight, whether you're going to rely on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what the words mean. It is finished. Hebrews 10 says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. And it seems to me when I'm up here now that I mentioned this before, it's like after you finish working out in the yard, come in out of your garden or ever, what do? And you sit down in the chair and you say, it's finished. What's finished? The work that you were doing. And the verse in Hebrews 10 says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And then a few verses later it says, and there remains no more sacrifices for sins. So if you want to have your sins forgiven tonight, it is written. That's what you have in the Bible. And it is finished. You know, there's a bridge, the Confederation Bridge. You said, hasn't it always been there? No, it wasn't always. The Confederation Bridge? No, it wasn't always there. I am literally old enough to remember when they built that bridge, when there was no bridge there. And then I remember watching them build that bridge way back 19... 93. And they floated the pieces out from the New Brunswick side and some from the island side, and they kept getting closer and closer and closer. And they put those big sections down, and there was still a great big gap. It wasn't whatever, it wasn't finished. 5,000 people were employed in building that bridge. 3.5 million tons of concrete were poured, and $1 billion later, there's still that one gap in the center. You drive so far, you could drive so far, but then there was this big, you couldn't go, you couldn't get across. And on Tuesday, November the 19th, 1996, at 11:30 p.m., there was a major celebration. Anybody have any idea what the celebration was about? It was finished. That's cause for celebration. And now people from New Brunswick wanting to get over to beautiful PEI. Probably some saw the bridge and didn't want to go on it. But others just relied on the bridge, across the bridge, over to wonderful PEI. You know, 2,000 years ago, the bridge to heaven was completed. Finished. Some people look at it and say, I'm not interested in Christ. They'll never be in heaven. But if you looked to Christ tonight and you understood what he meant when he said, it is finished, you could be saved tonight. Tonight. Was he telling the truth or was he telling a lie? It is finished. If you say, Peter, I think he was telling the truth, just think, or are you sure? I'm sure he was telling the truth. And because he finished the work on the cross, his precious blood was shed for my sins, I am saved and satisfied. I have peace. And you could have it tonight, too. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for him stopping for lost sinners. We've been hearing about a man who was lost. And amidst all the people that day and all the activities, Jesus saw him in the tree. And he stopped. And Zacchaeus had that life-changing, destiny-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that someone will understand that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. If there's someone lost tonight, we pray that they will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Part us with thy blessing, we pray in his name. Amen.